Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
We are.
And you had me on the wrong side.
Hi, Eric.
What's going on, buddy?
Long time no see.
Yeah. Like 7 days.
I know, because you don't like talking to me. Miss you during the rest of the week. Did it give you a little scare being late to the show?
A little bit. What happened, man?
I decided I would shower for you. I didn't want to show up all stinky.
Do you like it when you're nice and clean? Nice and fresh smelling.
I went and played racquetball. Got my ass kicked by like an 80-year-old guy.
Oh, God. That's awesome. That's something to be proud of right there.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even playing racquetball.
Nice. He's good. I talked to him afterwards. I've told you I've gone down this rabbit hole of retirement, and I don't know if I said it on the show or just privately, but I've been going down the YouTube rabbit hole of learning more about retirement. And talking to him after he kicked my ass today, he retired when he was 49. I'm like,
son of a bitch.
I'm like, I'm 49. How do I retire?
What did he tell you? What was the secret?
Start early and be in finance.
Oh, yeah. Seems like it's always the finance guys who retire early.
Because they seem to be the smartest ones with their money doing things right.
What you been up to this week? You been doing any coding?
I've been doing other non-coding stuff. I mean, I'm going to go personal instead of work for a quick second.
Sure. I need to change hats.
You do that. I played my first ever doubles disc golf tournament with my son on Monday night, which was fun. Had a blast. I had no intentions of scoring well. Just wanted to go try something new and had a great time. Found a new app for measuring my throw speed. And it's just fascinating to me. You know, I'm throwing a disc 50 miles an hour. It should be higher. It needs to be higher. But I have goals. I now have something to work towards. What else?
Was that the whole story?
I don't know. I'm not going to go into details of the disc golf. Like, that's going to be boring. Just interesting to me. Things are interesting.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
You're mean. I don't like talking to you anymore.
I was just expecting more. I thought, felt like there was more of a build up there.
No, I'm just bad at telling stories. Come on now.
What about me? Is that what you asked? What about me?
I was about to until Duck Nizzle said, stepson in San Diego visiting a friend this week. Ari wants to live here. Don't blame him. How old is your stepson, Duck Nizzle, visiting on his own? Yeah, while we're waiting for that, you go ahead. How was your week?
It was fun. I feel like I'm in more meetings than anything.
Oh, look anymore, who showed up in friggin' chat. Mr. Joe. Who? Supernova. Joe. Been trying to get in touch with him for the past hour and a half.
he replied.
Oh, did he?
You are terrible.
I was showering for you, remember?
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like I'm in a lot of meetings now. Which is like, I guess, okay, but also, you know, I don't know. I just don't feel like I'm like contributing to the same level as the rest of the team as far as when it comes to like development work, which I'm honestly not. I mean, I do like a lot of the other like side projects. Spent some time with Laravel Magazine, obviously. Still tweaking that a little bit, but did some stuff on the website and things like that. Matter of fact, yeah, let's talk about that real fast. Where is that at? Let me see. Let's get down here real quick. For anybody interested, nope, don't want you there. Want you up here. There we go. Call for papers is open. Was there more to say there, Jen?
Yeah, because somebody else wanted to talk about that while we were on, remember?
Well, I know this is why I'm getting it out there now. I'm getting it out there so it's something that they can come on and discuss, because we are having other people on today. Thanks for spoiling that. Appreciate that.
Call for
Papers is open for PHP Tech 2027. We can go to the whole kind of why you should submit a paper if you've never spoken at a conference before. PHP Tech is probably one of the best conferences to speak at. Because, I mean, just everybody's very friendly, very accommodating, very helpful. So, yeah. And if you have submitted papers before, well, you know the deal. Same thing as all the previous years. For those of you that like to reach out directly. What?
We are bad at our job.
Yeah? Oh, my God. Well, the date is correct.
The date is correct. This is the 2007th edition of PHP Tech. That has nothing to do with the year.
Dude, do you know how this is like everywhere now? Like, literally, like it should be on the Twitter handle as well. Let's just take a quick look here. X.com. I can't see this small screen. X.com. Yeah, I know what I'm doing after the podcast now. Jesus Christ. Let me see. PHP Tech. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's right. Oh.
Yep, that one's correct.
Well, something got lost in translation somewhere. Now I got to find out which ones are broken and which ones aren't broken. Damn it. All right, this is the problem with copying. Yes, Joe, we know what the problem is. Thank you very much. Jesus Christ.
Can you put a bit better spotlight on it?
Yeah. Right here, Eric, you missed the pixels right here. It looks like a zero. Joe, I'm not talking about you now, Joe. I had things to talk to you about. But anyways, submit your call for papers, even though the guy who does the graphics is terrible at his job. Just go ahead and submit the talk anyways.
We will reprimand that person later. Wasn't your fault.
Dickhead. But, yeah. So, yeah, make sure you submit. What's going on here? What's that look like? Do you see that? Is that just me? Okay, it's just me. Never mind. Don't worry about it. There's nothing to see here, John. Nothing to see.
Okay. Very confused.
In case you're wondering who you're talking to, we are the PHP podcast. We do a weekly podcast. Stream every Thursday, 3 o'clock. John and I are the people behind PHP Architect, who does the conference PHP Tech, as well as publish a magazine, and believe it or not, have a consulting group. So if you ever need any consulting work, we do it all. We replace entire,
augment.
Augment existing development groups, if you don't have a development group, we have been known to be the complete IT department. We have mobile, obviously PHP, web app development, and SysOps. Anything else, John?
If only we had a commercial for this.
Listen, I have a bone to pick with you on that, goddammit. I could have done that months ago, but every time I do it that way, you're like, oh, that's AI, that sounds horrible.
You do such a good impersonation of me.
Oh, did I nail it?
I think you nailed it. I think that was pretty spot on.
Yeah. So yeah, we're working in commercial. We do need to. I do appreciate that, and I did briefly try to put together a presentation, but it just wasn't enough time. So I guess we kind of hinted to it a little bit. We do have another to join us today. And let's bring Holly back. Hey, Holly.
Hello. Hi, Holly. So I'm here to carry the show now?
Yes,
please. Yeah, it's really yours at this point. You've seen, I've got some Canva to update here.
You know, I have to say, one of the things I had not expected was being in the backstage. I get the no latency feed. So I'm getting like all the jokes. I get to have comments in Discord at the same time. Usually like 3 to 5 second delay makes a joke not land. But, I'm really looking forward to presenting at Tech 2007. I can pitch about PHP 6 coming out soon.
It's 2007 again.
Yes.
In 2027. It's the 20th anniversary of 2007. Shut up. What?
I don't think
that's what, by the way, I was trying to say that before the show started, like, and I just couldn't get it out. Like, you showed the banner for that split second in the backstage. I was trying to point that out to you, and I just couldn't get it out, and you weren't getting it. And well, here we are.
Yeah, I wouldn't have had time to fix it.
Time to fix it, but at least you would be aware of it and be like, hey, yeah, we got some old graphics here, but
I wish I could even say we were reusing graphics.
It's retro. Holly, you were talking about the call for papers being open prior to us starting. Mm-hmm. One thing, a bone I have to pick with Sessionize, which is a stupid thing. I tried to use their group mailing feature to email all the past people who have submitted talks. But once you decline talks, you can't email them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So, I got the email written, and then I saw that. I'm like, oh, that's stupid. So now I got to export the entire list and just send it directly, which I will get to eventually.
You won't get to it, Holly. Never does.
I never do.
I mean,
one of the things I was pointing out in there, if you are going to submit talks, since we're talking about it, if you were accepted and given the talk at a previous PHP Tech, don't submit it again. It's just more of a pain for me to have to go through and decline it before we do our review. Check the speaker package. That's changed ever so slightly.
Are
we bringing back soda in the afternoon? Is the only thing I really care about. Let's be honest.
We're talking about. Well, it depends. that's up. We need to bring you onto the marketing team because. That's where that really shines, is marketing.
So that the all-day beverage is ridiculously expensive, the amount of money that costs. So that's a last-minute decision depending on partnership/sponsorship money and ticket sales.
I'm not criticizing the decision last year, but the hard part for me was like there was coffee and soda in the morning. I'm like, okay, I want soda in the afternoon, but coffee in the morning. And I'm sure they don't allow that to be separated, but
right.
No, all you gotta do, you got a backpack, you know, just throw them in your backpack. That's what I was doing.
I was putting them in other
people's backpacks. So if I got caught, it wasn't me, but you know.
I mean, I did that. Like, you may have seen me over the table and just filling up my backpack. I didn't even have a laptop in it by the third day. I just, like, all the soda, all the soda.
You're just, like, slushing around the conference.
Peddling like the soda. Anybody want a soda?
With a bunch of cans. Yeah. Holly's out there, yeah.
I've got your soda fix.
Oh,
so, ideally, yes. Eric and I don't, we're not trying to make a ton of money off of the conference. We want to break even at the bare minimum. So if there's enough of a budget to have all day beverage, coffee and sodas, we will do that.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, every developer everywhere is a caffeine fiend. Absolutely. Like, it was a full out detox week for me. I don't know. It was terrible. you're drinking it now.
An iced coffee. Yeah.
Yeah. I always have my drinks around me.
Gotta do it.
Actually, that's what we were talking about before. I was sidetracked with the fact that I'm a terrible person and not good at my job. The same process we've always used in the past, for those that like to reach out to us directly, it doesn't even get to John and I until after the first round, where we do a blind selection with a bunch of internal PHP architect team members, as well as anybody in our Discord who wants to be a part of it. We'll put them out there. There's this process that goes through. You don't get to see who's doing the talk, but you see what the title of the talk and the kind of summary of the talk, and you decide which of the talks you like pick. You're presented with three at a time. You decide which one you'd be most interested to see, second, third, and there's some other things about it. Like you can completely decline a talk where you can say, which I didn't realize. I think like the first 2 years we did this, that you can, there could be talks where you're just not interested in. There's no world where you think it's an interesting talk and you can actually mark that. And then the system won't give it to you as the option, but you do get the same talk as an option again later as it tries to kind of figure out how you're weighing the talks. So
unless you say that. So what you're talking about is the evaluation piece that we go through. And right. when he says we have no interest in seeing it, it's because there are bots that just submit to every event on Sessionize. So it has nothing to do with web development. Often those are the talks he's talking about. Like, I want this out of here completely. I usually try to get rid of those prior to the evaluation starting, but sometimes miss some.
Yeah. So you well, need yeah, AI it, bots else... to filter out the content coming in from AI bots.
There you
that's
go.
Gosh, you know, that's happening. But we also do that to kind of keep a fair playing field, right? We don't, because I know like there are certain people I would like to see speak at our conference. And, you know, if I'd seen them before we got through that first round, I would like try to, you know, I would definitely try to influence people's voting sort of thing. You know what I mean? So we try to do that so that, you know, we're staying honest and everybody's actually seeing the talks that interest the people. So yeah. Anyways, do it. Submit if you have never submitted before, and
Jeffrey asked a question. What if there's a talk about AI and coding harnesses? So this year we are doing three tracks. Two will be our traditional PHP tech type of talks. The third track will change every day. So one day we expect to have a full track of AI talks, one day a full track of Laravel talks, and then one day a full track of DevOps talks.
That's the plan so far.
So far. That's the goal. If I'm hoping we can achieve that and people will submit the right types of talks, but we will figure that out in a few months.
Yeah.
I think I put the call for speakers is through the end of August currently. The goal of this year is to get the submissions in, get the schedule kind of set up so that you have time to convince your bosses this year, especially if it's your fiscal year, whenever your fiscal year ends, if you need to get it in the budget either by the end of this year or whatever date your company uses, try and get that set up so you can convince them to send you early next year.
Hey,
that's the plan.
You didn't put the new pricing on the website yet, brother. Yeah.
What new? I was torn on putting it all on the homepage there.
Yeah, I get it.
I kind of want to create a little video. I don't know how this turned into a whole PHP tech conversation.
Hey, man, it's going to be like this for the next 6 to 8 months.
I mean, is the price from 2007 at least?
I don't know. All right. Yeah, so we do have, we talked about this last week. We'll just touch on it real fast. If you want to make it easier when you ask for the money, if this is not for speakers, obviously, if you're speaking there, you look at the speaker package. Some of this is included in the speaker package. But again, with that whole physical year ending sort of money thing, I know, especially when I worked in enterprise, if we had educational or conference money and it hadn't been allocated yet, we always like to allocate it, because if you don't spend all your budget, you don't get that budget next year. You know, they're like, oh yeah, you didn't need this much last year, so you don't get it this year. So the whole thing was to spend all your budget before the year ended. So if you're one of those people, we've included the hotel stay and conference stuff all in one package. So you don't need to try to figure out how much the hotel is going to cost you and then, you know, add all this to some spreadsheet for a manager to look at. Just give them one number and you should be good. That number includes for one person in the room, breakfast, and then we serve you lunch at the conference as well. So that's a lot of your meals as well. So you just kind of keep that in mind. Pretty good price if you ask me. All right. Holly, why are you here? thought you were carrying the show. Well, I heard you two were
kind of struggling the last few weeks, and I decided to...
Last few years? What are you talking about? Where have you been?
Jesus. All right, that's fair. That's fair. No, so I've had a fair bit of time this last about 10 days. And so I started first just listening in on the internals conversations. And so between my early days as a web developer and my mobile days, I did a lot of C development, some embedded systems, cool things like that. So I started hearing talk about people who were interested in a couple features. And I'm just like, let's just see what that looks like in code. Because they were kind of still talking about it, and I knew what I wanted to do with it. And it was a feature that I had actually thought PHP had for a long time. And every time I write the code and I realize it doesn't exist, and I get mad and I change the code. So I'm just like, well, we're going to try and see how we can build extensions. And one caffeine-fueled, blackout later, I have quite a bit of code and some RFCs written up and kind of consolidated a bunch of the ideas that a bunch of people were throwing together. And it turned out halfway decent. And actually, I've kind of been using it locally just to test it out for a bit. So the idea is for a for the class extensions to start with. Essentially, that if there's a class you don't have a method on it, you can add that method later on. So if there's a library creator creates a library, you can take their class and add a method to it in your code. So Swift has this, Kotlin has it, C# has it. Most other languages have some form of this already. John, you look confused.
I'm trying to think of an example of where you would use that and why. So library has a class, doesn't have a method you want it to have, and you can dynamically add it. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. You can kind of add it. The kind of typical example of this is the datetime immutable class. If you can add a function to, say, is weekday or is weekend, and you can have that kind of logic attached to it. It's purely syntactical sugar, to be very clear. Like, this could just be a static method that you're passing a first parameter as. And in fact, that's how C# implements these, that they're static methods and they just kind of gloss over to be instance methods. And that was actually kind of what got the discussion started that I jumped in at.
So is this sort of like, you got to speak PHP to me. Is this sort of like extending a class? Like somebody writes a class, you extend it to add additional methods that you might want to use?
Yeah, exactly. So you add those methods that you want to use on there, or just convenience helpers for whatever you want to on there.
Gotcha. Okay. And so you're thinking you were looking at doing this with extensions.
Not with like a PHP extension, but just implementing this as a feature of the PHP language.
Oh, that's okay. Then I guess my question is, okay. I mean, but we do that, right? With extending, don't we?
You can, but
so how? Yeah. What am I missing? I'm not trying. I'm not trying to put you through the ringer here, Holly. I'm just trying to understand, really.
I mean, so
remember that time you made fun of me for writing 2007? Boy.
I would never make fun of somebody. Actually, it's funny. As we're waiting here, somebody else was talking and making a joke in one of the other chats. And I started typing, like, you're going to have to wait. I'm making fun of Eric right now. You're going to have to wait your turn.
Get in line. So help me. So back to kind of John's question, like, when would we use this if we can just extend classes?
So you're extending a class, like, you're not subclassing this. This is not a subclass. This is more like applying a trait after the fact.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right.
But to your point, Eric, what you're saying is you could, if you wanted a PHP architect datetime immutable that would have additional methods, you could, but it's less sexy. Like, you want the, you want to use the datetime immutable class because that's part of PHP. You're not using a subclass of it.
Would the approach you're suggesting, Holly, would it have performance gains over, say, extending a class?
I don't know about performance gains over having a subclass. However, there are no performance penalties. So I haven't gone that far. I know a few people have started looking at the PR and they've done some tests with it to see kind of the performance impact. There was some concern early on, The other part is it's kind of gotten, I'm going to say it's gotten conflated, but it's an essential feature here that is, I hate to say it, but he's, Larry was talking about this actually, and he has said like that being able to implement this with scalar methods was an immediate case. So that would give you the ability to have a string and just hit like dot length to get the length of it rather than doing string length of, you know, the object.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a very difficult thing to implement because this in PHP and everything has to always be an object. So there's some extra hooks that have to happen for that to work, but it does make a lot of things possible to be able to say an extension on a scalar and have those additions added onto it. So that's why I had to break it into three different phases of implementation, but it's been a really interesting kind of week of just throwing code at this and seeing what works, what doesn't. And so far it's actually starting to come together. So I posted GIS at this point, I'm sorry, not onto the formal PHP wiki yet, but that's kind of where these are headed here in the near future as people kind of critique them and I'm getting some feedback and making some changes to that.
I'm happy that you're getting involved. I got them right here. You're talking about the GIS?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got them. I'll put them on the trailer.
Is it GIS or GIS? Because I don't know.
I say GIS. I don't know.
I've always said GIS myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what do I know?
Obviously, very little.
I don't pretend to be an expert. I can type it out real quick. Uh-oh. Get your wiki account. You know what? I sent that in yesterday, Joe, and I haven't heard back, and it's going to happen. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I'm hoping it's going to happen. But I also have the worst mail situation. I've used Outlook for my primary email because I had to 20 years ago. Not 20, mm-hmm. I guess. But it's been a nightmare using Outlook because it doesn't like to cooperate with the PHP mailing list. And every time somebody new mails into the PHP mailing lists, it considers that spam and throws it away. And I can't get off of that fast enough. So I have a new email address I'm setting up, but it's not ready yet.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds about right.
All right. Eric, while you're getting those links, you want to
thank
our partners real quick?
Let's thank our partners. Since we didn't spoil it earlier, we're going to go with Displace this week. So thanks to our partners over at Displace.
Thank you to our partners over at Displace Technologies. Building PHP applications is your passion. Managing cloud infrastructure shouldn't be your headache. Displace is your partner in cloud infrastructure orchestration, giving solo developers and small teams the tools and automation to deploy enterprise-grade Kubernetes clusters without the enterprise-grade complexity or cost. Their CLI tool streamlines everything from local development to fully managed cloud deployments on AWS, Azure, Google Cloud Platform, and more. Skip the steep learning curve of Docker, Kubernetes, and Terraform. Let their automation free you to focus on your core business without losing control of your infrastructure. Get started at displace.tech. That's displace.tech. And discover how the right tools can eliminate the need for a full DevOps team.
Thank you, Displace.
Thanks, Displace. Eric, I don't care what you say, John. I don't care what you say. That AI is better than that read, man. You were struggling through that read. How am I killing you today?
The overlays named 1.png instead of displace.png. Killing me. See that over there?
What? Oh, you're talking about over here? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's because I did them all the same and just exported them as a one thing. Yeah. You think they'd let you like rename them here, you know?
Yeah,
you can't.
Nope.
It's a pain. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's, and I would like to also organize them as well. So nobody knows what we're talking about, John. But
I know.
We're talking about the back end interface where we like do the overlays and commercials.
Yeah, this little Displace that you see over in the corner.
Well, it's gone now.
I'm showing it back up.
Yeah.
It's just,
I don't know. John, John, I hate to say it, but I think Joe does a better job running the show here. He back end does all the...
I don't know why you hate to say it. I'm the one clicking the buttons, Holly. God damn it, you just pissed me off again.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm talking to John, being like, John, I think Joe does it better, and I know you're doing it, but...
God damn it. No respect. Never give me respect.
Really? You're saying the PHP Architect has mobile? I don't work for you guys yet, so I don't know how that's going to feel. How can you have anybody on mobile?
I like how you put the yet in there. That was slick.
Yeah. Come on, mate.
We've always had mobile. Well, not always, but well, PHP Architects, since we've taken it over, we've had mobile.
Actually, you know, we did as Diego Dev too for years.
Right.
You guys do Ionic though. You guys got to do real mobile. PHP native.
Yeah. Can't even say it right.
I can't. You're right.
Are you going to make our app native PHP next year?
I already started a little bit on the Longhorn app. So
what? What?
Longhorn app?
An app for another conference?
You talked about it last week.
That's right. I called you all sorts of bad names, didn't I?
I mean, I shouldn't expect much from you when you think it's 2007. So, we should get
the website says 2027. I don't know what you're.
We need to get the dementia care prep done right now, John.
I'm looking forward to that. God, there's so much stuff I want to forget. I can't wait. Hey, speaking of our friend and colleague Joe Ferguson, wait, did I do that right? You can actually listen to Joe following our podcast. You got to make sure we're completely done and off air before you switch over. But he's doing a talk over at Merge PHP, and at 5 o'clock Pacific time, translate that how you will to wherever you live in the world. He's doing Ansible for PHP developers, configure, deploy, and update your infrastructure. And cool stuff. So he's a kind of a smart guy. That's why we kind of hired him. And yeah, he's a PHP architect guy and release manager of 8.6, 7? Which one? I forget. 6.
8.6. Yeah.
Yeah. So
the current one.
Yeah. So yeah, show Joe some love after our podcast. But again, wait until we're done, please.
We'll be done well before then, I hope.
I do too.
It feels too early for 8.6 right now, and I don't know how else to say that. Like, this is summer. I don't know. Like, it's same thing, like iOS 27 beta is out. Like, it feels way too early for that. Android's got a new beta out. Like, they all feel too early right now. I don't know what's going on. I think it's just getting old.
But do you see Discord happening there, Holly? The people themselves. Simon, and I'm sure Shane would be more than happy to give you help if you need any help cutting your teeth on native PHP.
Go ahead and break the Longhorn.
Make Longhorn your learning experience. I'm good with that. I like that approach. It makes a reason.
Ian, we're kidding. We love you.
I'm not kidding, Ian. I'm dead serious.
I don't know, I got my money on Eric in a fight, but I don't think it's going to come down to that.
That's what you should do. You should create a native PHP conference app that, you know, any conference can use to, you know, to I don't know how you couldn't even do that with mobile though, could you?
No, you can't.
I mean, you can make a template and then, you know, people could, you know, do that. But yeah, it's not like it's not like a web app where you can like, oh yeah, this is my logo.
I don't know. I think Artisan Build has one they're trying to do.
Couple parts of that. So first off, one of the jobs I had one time was working for the Chicago Sun-Times. I built their native app, and then we white labeled it so we could ship it for 70 something other publications across the country. I will never do that again.
Yeah.
Every single person, even like I'm sure PHP Architects, you guys have your brand styling and like how things have to go. When I was helping out my son's school a few years ago, they're like, here's our brand style guidelines. Are you kidding? You're an elementary school, but here's our logo. Here's the acceptable use of our logo. It must be half an inch border between our logo and any text that comes around it. You can't use these colors adjacent to the logo because they'll like,
And it was an 8-page document. It has to be exactly this color.
Mm-hmm. And no criticism to them like that. Everybody's got that brand style guideline. But when you're doing mobile work or even just front-end work in general, everything's in the details. It's all about like getting those logos perfect, getting those layouts perfect. That's what makes it good. On the other hand, one of the things, and Simon, this one's kind of for you there, that one of the talks I submitted to Longhorn is about what makes the difference between a website that you've shipped and wrapped into a native app and an actual native app. And I don't mean like, oh, you're using the super native functionality or anything like that. Like, what makes a mobile app a mobile app? It's not the language. It's not the behavior. It's not the like transitions. It's not the scroll animations. It's the like how you manage state. Mobile apps have the expectation that whatever is local on the device, not the, you know, you shouldn't be reaching off to the server for everything. Your local copy is authoritative or an authoritative copy at the least. So the flows have to be slightly different. Work with Andy. I did work with Andy Anato, but I didn't actually know who he was at the time. He was there at the same time I was, but I never talked to him. Sorry, asking about Andy Anato, and I never say his name right, but yeah, he and I were there at the same time, but I didn't actually work with him. Anyway, but yeah, so that was one of the talks I've submitted. I don't know if it's accepted, and I probably won't find out for a while yet, because that's how things work.
But sometime soon, aren't they?
You know what?
They're right around the corner, aren't they?
Well, I mean, they extended it. That's what, like, they extended the call for papers. I think it goes through this weekend.
Oh, they as of last week, they hadn't, so.
You guys talked about it.
I feel bad
if
we released our call for paper.
Well, no, last week it was closed when I went to it.
Right, right.
Yeah, and then they extended it. And extended like right at the time you guys were talking about it. Like I think it was brought up on the show last week. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
Well, on the show I had talked about it, but said it had closed, and I still don't see.
Yeah, we don't pay attention to what we talk about on the show, Holly.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't either.
First time here.
Yeah,
I don't.
I've listened to you guys for on the air here for what is it now? Like 8 years, and like I started listening to you guys. What it was like 2018, something like that. And I should know by now, like nobody, you guys don't know what you're talking about any more than most of us do. And
absolutely. I'm glad we made that clear to everybody.
One of the things you said, and this was way back again in the PHP ugly days, was if there's no one around, like hosting a local thing, it's you. If there's a feature you want, it's you. And I've resented those words so much the last couple of years because it's kind of been haunting me, so many things that I want, and like that's kind of what got me into doing these PHP RFCs right now. I was writing up some code for my own website, and I built an extension because I thought the language had it. I just assumed it had it, and it doesn't, and it wouldn't compile, and I couldn't figure out why. And I realized, oh yeah, it's a language, that's a feature the language doesn't have. And so I'm building it for me, and I hope the RFC gets approved. I hope we can push this all forward, but I built it for me because it's what I wanted.
Yeah. That's the start to a great RFC or a great addition. It's something that scratches your itch, something you need. If it gets accepted, even better, but if it doesn't, at least you have it, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to run my own custom version of PHP on my server. And that way, if somebody tries to hack me, bug fixes, whatever, jokes on them, it's not compatible with it because whatever I did.
That's the hard part about writing an extension that only you use. I mean, I guess if it's an extension, you can install it, hopefully, with Py.
Oh, it is not an extension. This is core language functionality.
Okay. That makes it harder. If you are compiling for yourself, which... nothing wrong with that. It's just needs to become part of your deployment process, which can be a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Eric, I shared the link. The CFP is open.
Yeah, I have it here.
It's actually open until tomorrow night. So if you would like to speak at Longhorn, there
is. Are you sure that's the right link? That looks like it says, right there. They have the right. It doesn't say 2006. It's 2026. So yeah. Good job. I'm pretty sure John and I are at this conference here because I know they used this picture before and I found us, and I think we're up here somewhere. I don't know where we're at. We're in this picture. John, you and I are in this picture somewhere. I'm definite of it. So, yeah. So talking about white labeling, a lot of white labeling coming in here. When we started working for one of our bigger clients, you know, they kind of have a white labeling aspect of their product, right? Which we do. I mean, we do it pretty well. It's still present today. It has some quirkiness to it occasionally, but for the most part, it works. But when we first took over the job, not only did they have this white labeling aspect of it, but they had like two clients that were on their own servers that had different like functions, and like the code wasn't completely in sync with the main white labeling code. And oh man, you want to talk about a nightmare to try to keep in sync with everything. Man, that was horrible. I hated that. That was terrible. Don't ever do that.
People in the PHP community, they talk a lot about like WordPress gets too much deference and WordPress having a bit too much authority and slowing down language growth. But like, I have so much respect for them after doing white labeling of anything. Of like, they host, it's WordPress. It hosts half the internet. And the fact that every single website on WordPress can look different and they can do all that, like, I have so much respect for them.
You're kind of stepping into it with me a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I honestly literally just took this story off of my Trello board because I had kept it on there so long we hadn't talked about it, but it's kind of coming around again. I like WordPress. Again, I think WordPress was the Laravel of its day, where they felt like they were the saviors of PHP. And quite honestly, WordPress probably was the savior of PHP back then. I feel maybe a little bit more than Laravel was in recent years. I think whatever. But my issue with WordPress specifically, first thing, they took a open source model. And I'm okay with companies making money off of open source software, because that's what we all do. If you work with PHP, you make money off of open source software. There's no two ways about it. And I feel like they bastardized it a little bit, and they made it harder. They made it harder for the open source aspect of it to live. And then again, like you said, respect. Like, these people built an empire with the CMS system that they created with WordPress. I don't feel like they were good community members to PHP. Like, they could have built PHP. That basically, they could have been Facebook in the sense that they were like, okay, we need to keep pushing PHP forward because we want new features. And that's what Facebook did. And yeah, they weren't getting the traction they wanted. They went off to try to do their own thing, and then that all went sideways. But I feel like WordPress could have been better stewards of that, where they could have embedded themselves into the PHP community, into the internals community, and say, okay, this is what we're thinking about in our WordPress world. And instead, they were very adamant about staying backwards compatible.
Held us back for many years.
Right.
So I was just having this conversation in the internals channel, and you can argue that that Facebook is a good example of this. Like, they, instead of investing into the PHP language and building out, working with internals and pushing PHP forward, they could have done that. Instead, they forked it and made their own language, the hack language. Okay.
Well, I think they were trying. They were trying at the time, back, 2007?
It started as trying, and then it just turned into, fine, we'll do it ourselves, which...
That goes back to WordPress saying... Right. It's not backwards compatible.
Right. And so I think WordPress is exactly that, but in reverse, because they're saying, look, you guys, we're trying to work with you. We're trying to do that. But they could have just as easily said, we have our business demand is we have to remain compatible with 100,000 or 100 million or however many websites they host. Of everybody there has their own custom code, and we can't break that custom code. We don't want to take down the users of who have all published their own code. They all have this other thing, and they can't get their users to update. Facebook, on the other hand, they can say, you know, Mark Zuckerberg can come out and say, hey, all developers, we're changing syntax A to syntax B. Today, we're doing it. As you deploy your new code, it'll be on the new language. WordPress never had that ability. It's actually completely outside of their capacity.
Yeah, but that argument could be made about every framework out there, every code project out there, really, but every framework out there. I mean, they could all say that.
But it's not about their project. It's about their business. And so let's say today, and I'm going to pick on Taylor Otwell because he's got the power to be in that situation right now. If he decided today, hey, I'm going to build out these RFCs, I've submitted RFCs. All the RFCs got shot down because they're terrible ideas. And so he says, fine, I'm going to build my own fork of PHP, and that's what Laravel is going to use from now on. Mm-hmm. That would be an existential threat. Like, he could do exactly what Facebook did to PHP. And maybe that fork becomes temporary and it just drives the language forward and they adopt kind of some sort of middle feature to it. But that's a path that's a very real possibility.
But didn't Facebook kind of do that anyways when they decided, oh, hey, we're not going to use PHP for our front-end stuff anymore. We're going to switch over to JavaScript now, and we'll still use the PHP in the back-end. But, I mean,
the how it played out is different. But, I mean, the idea right now is, like, Hack is essentially dead at this point, and it may or may not. There may be some other people who are using it, some little pockets, but in general, it's dead. But most of those features, most of those ideas that got proved out did get ported over to PHP.
Right. Yeah,
so I don't think it was a full negative.
No, it definitely wasn't. I felt like Hack was the awakening for internals, where it was like, hey, you know, we've got to move our language. You know, we've got to move the needle on this. We're not doing this. These are reasonable things they're implementing. These are things that people want. We feel like it would be serve the greater good of the PHP community. And not only that, but the governance around PHP got better after that as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, I was one of the people looking at Hack. I'm like, hey, this is making a lot of sense to me. And yeah, had it stuck around, I don't know if I would have stuck around with PHP, because yeah, it was a good thing. And that's the great thing about open source, right? I mean, we've seen this. Well, we saw it with NPM kind of went through a similar thing, right? With, you know, the people were upset with the way NPM was being managed, and they created a fork, and it was its own thing for a while. Then they came back to NPM, and like it was. This is the great thing about open source. It's like, if you're really that upset about it, do your own thing. If you have a lot of money, pay people to do your own thing, and let the cream rise to the top. Mm-hmm. I never blame Facebook for any of that. I thought it was a smart move.
Right. And that's kind of my point, is if today Laravel, their business got threatened, if PHP's core did not adapt, you know, new features of whatever they said they needed to, became an existential threat, they would definitely consider a fork of the language. And like, what would that do to lose Laravel to the PHP community? Like, I think that could be a death blow. So that is a very serious concern.
Yeah, I don't think it would be a death blow. What I think would happen would be that community would realize how hard it is to manage and maintain a language. And, you know, because I mean, the risk is even, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it would have to be like, if think about it, like if Facebook didn't have enough money to throw at developers to continue to build their version of PHP, you know, who will, right?
But was it a financial decision, or was it, like you said, PHP had the awakening where PHP decided, okay, we're going to adopt a lot of the things that Hack has done, where it made the language faster. It right. improved the syntax. We got off of 5 and onto 7, right?
Right.
So was
it? It just didn't make sense to do it anymore.
Right. It was more like, oh, PHP is now doing what we wanted, so we don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time, the evolution of front ends in JavaScript changed dramatically as well. So I think that is another case where, you know, Node and mature.
jQuery will never die. Stop it.
I don't even look like I used to be just a fascination. I used to have this fascination. I'd look at every single web page I visit and like, oh, what framework are they using? And like, oh, which version of jQuery are they having in there? I've stopped. I can't even look anymore because A, I don't know what most of them are. Like, what is this like crinkly paper JS? I have no idea what any of them are anymore. And every single time I look, there's a new one that I don't know. I just stop trying.
Don't look on the application I work on because you will see like three different versions of jQuery.
All okay, on the same page. Explain that to me. I want to understand how you end up with multiple versions of jQuery in a project because like they're not that far apart from each other. What necessitates them rather than just being like, hey, find and replace all here, go do it.
Back in the day, it was, you know, there was no build system. There was no, the framework is written in house. It's not Laravel or anything. So it was more of a developer would say, oh, I'm going to build this feature and, oh, I need jQuery. And they would install it and not realizing it was already on the page. And it was a different version and it had something different. And then upgrading was scary or not even thought about actually at the time.
Right.
And then fast forward a few years when you get real developers in there and they're like, why are there three different versions of jQuery? And they're like, I don't know, but I'm afraid to touch it now.
Well, I understand that, but like, I feel like you could just go and like copy paste, find a search, replace whatever. Like, I feel like that's not that hard of a thing to fix.
Maybe probably not.
Okay.
It really comes down to what did the different versions have? Like, there was something specific a developer needed to upgrade, and I don't know if it broke something backwards or not. Probably not. But what did you just share?
Well, yeah, I was going to move on. Doug Nizzle had a question about Composer. Does Composer have a way of delaying package updates for 48 hours? Which first thing is, yeah, don't run Composer update for 48 hours. I don't know what to tell you, but I get what he's saying. Like, you run Composer update and you want it to run on everything except packages released the last 48 hours, which I don't know. I could see that as being a feature. And he's talking specifically about the supply chain exploits that have been happening. You should look into Packagist and everything that they are doing in Composer, everything that they were doing to help prevent this. We talked about it on the show a few weeks back, and I'll see if I can find those links and throw them in the show notes, or you can just go back a few weeks and look at it. But they really hammered this out. I mean, fortunately, I mean, we've had it happen to us and it's been caught fairly quickly. And fortunately, we weren't the first, because, you know, if we were the first, it would have been all over the news about how, you know, PHP is unsecure again. But it was happening to everybody, mainly NPM. NPM was just horrible about it. But yeah, there's been a lot of things. But I mean, again, it's only as good as it is current, right? Who knows what's released next, which is why I could see having a feature where you could say, hey, I want to upgrade all my packages that are over a month old. Does that make sense? Like, anything that has an update that's no newer than a month old.
Right. Read the July issue of Security Corner. It's not out yet. It'll be out within the next 2 or 3 weeks. But Eric Mann talks about the whole supply chain thing and Composer. So, good read.
You know, I mean, I hate to tell you how to run your business, but you're supposed to pitch it like, hey, we just released a new episode or a new issue this week. Here's a new article. We should talk about it. Not, hey, 3 weeks from now, there might be an article.
Not might. There will be.
Wait, did Eric just drop?
He did.
Uh-oh.
And he dropped again. So, no, I agree. It's just we're talking about supply chain and Composer, and I happen to know that's coming out here in the next issue. So when it comes out, we will talk about it again.
It's a good topic, and it's something I'm always afraid of. And it's less so in the PHP world, but in other languages where like that you can ship a binary, that's even worse. Like Swift has the ability, you can have a package that you can download, which is already a precompiled binary. Those scare me. I don't feel comfortable with most of those.
Yeah, but it's a necessary evil, right? How else are you going to do it?
Shoot me source code. I can compile it.
Yeah, but are you going through line by line looking for those issues?
No, and that's kind of the other half of the coin here of, well, if everybody says, no, we're not going to install the new package for a week, well, then who's the first person who's going to catch it? And you'd like to say, oh, it's a security researcher who's going to scan the package and find it or whatever. And, you know, maybe that's true for the first day or two. But eventually, it's the really good bugs aren't going to be found until somebody's going to fall victim to them.
Right. And I mean, I know there's companies watching the fire hose of GitHub looking for those types of things. Mm-hmm. But it's a what is it, a chicken and egg situation, or forget the other saying, but where they're always going to be changing it, and that they're going to get around the scanners that are scanning for these things. And it's just scary. Very, very scary. I need to retire. That's all there is to it.
I'm ready. I got a farm in my backyard. I'm ready to just move out, like set up my own farm and start getting out of tech. Everybody else has got like smart devices around their house. I have one smart speaker and a smart doorbell, and that's all I've got. And
yeah, I've got a few. I mean, I do have smart devices around, but I get it. I get not wanting them, but they're very easy to have.
So does this mean that the computer is not the problem, or did you know, kick the plug out of the wall?
Yeah, I don't know if you can hear me.
Oh, I can hear you. Yeah, you're not on that mic, so you might as well move it out of your face if you're not using it. Nope, now I can't hear you. We were able to hear you, just wrong mic.
Well, that's, yeah, okay. It's going to be a wrong mic. Anyway. Oh, shit, I'm hearing me.
You know what? Good enough.
Okay, listen, this is what got weird. So I had that new laptop that I've been using for streaming, and it just dropped.
You run a Composer update on it, and it broke.
Yeah. and it just dropped. So I have my other laptop, which I've been sharing my desktop on, because I can't get it on the refresh one. So I switched over to it real fast, and it was still going. It never dropped. So now the one that I switched to, I can see me, like I was back and I was talking and nobody was responding to me. And it's because you guys didn't know I was talking. So I was, so I realized,
who's
like,
on first?
Eventually my camera went away and I can't add myself back. Like, do you see me in the list of sources, John?
No. Yes, I do. I see your screen. I see your screen, but that's on the one you're on right now, right?
Right. That's on the one I'm on. Yeah.
Yeah. Then no, I don't see it there.
I don't know what's going on there. I give up. I'm done working the shit. I'm not podcasting anymore. I'm done. I got to switch over because this is driving me crazy. So you guys talk for a second.
We're running long. We can wrap up and just say, we'll see you next week.
Okay.
Correct. Thank you for watching.
Dude, I like this camera. Podcast. This is actually a good camera.
Okay. We'll use it from now on.
Okay.
Thank you, Ollie, for being here.
Ollie, thank you for having me.
You on.
Thank you for being new. Appreciate that.
You know, if I had known, I would have wore, I got PHP swag. I don't know if you saw the order go through, but I got my swag in the mail the other day.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, you did?
I do. I've got actually like this. I didn't wear. If I had more than 45 minutes notice, like we're doing this, I was just planning on harassing you guys from the chat room. But yeah, we can do this.
Cool.
All right.
Were you going to say something, John? You said
I was just going to say thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. See everybody. Bye.
This has been PHP Bye. Podcast, Bye. The official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.